Well, everybody, welcome to episode 242 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk some boys basketball tonight, but before we do that, I've got a special guest that I'm going to talk to first. She's a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she's been on the podcast a few times before. She's Tiffany Rummelhart. Tiffany, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. What are you ready for the holidays?
We're getting there. Every day I get a little bit closer, but I'm still in shock that they're right around the corner. So I'll do a lot of last minute stuff. It's all fine.
Yeah. Where did this year go? I don't know.
I know, it's crazy.
What, do you guys have any big plans for the holidays?
No, we're local. We stick around. All of our family's pretty much here. We typically host the dinner at our house, and so everyone comes over and we just enjoy family and the day, and we don't really have to travel, so it's kind of nice.
Oh, there you go. Yep. My wife are heading down to Jamaica in a couple of weeks.
Oh, so my gosh, I'm jealous.
That's our semi-annual Christmas tradition.
That's
so
great.
Yeah. Oh, we love it. So unlike you, we don't have a big family, and they're not around here anyway, so we... Nothing to keep us here. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Jamaica would be wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's new in the real estate world?
Gosh, you know, it's the market every... I think I get asked. Matter of fact, I was having lunch with a friend today, and she was asking me a little bit about the market. And it kind of depends on who you ask, but I think, you know, we're starting to... We've seen some things normalize. I feel like there's a huge buyer pool out there that's ready to pull the trigger, but they're just kind of afraid on, you know, still watching those rates and are they going to come down? There's a lot of forecasters that saying they are going to start to come down a little bit, and they're going to, you know, maybe mid next year, towards the end of the year, we might see rates a little bit better than what they are right now. But it just kind of depends, you know, what your need is, what you need to do for yourself. I know as far as MJ Properties goes, we still have some great home sites out at Centennial Estates. We still have Plat 1, Plat 2, Plat 3. Actually, Plat 1 we're finishing up. But we've got some wonderful home sites. They sit on flat lots. We've got some daylight. We've got a couple walkouts yet. So if anyone's looking for a quality home builder in the Ankeny area, we've got a lot of variety for people. Those lots, they start at about $75,000 up to $120,000. Great areas of Ankeny, just north and west of Centennial High School. We have four market homes that they're working on. One of those four is actually complete. It's over there in Prairie Trail, 2207 Southwest Vintage Parkway. That one we do hold open on Sundays right now. So if you're over in that area, stop by, check it out. Look at all the great things that MJ Properties brings. We've got something for everybody, it seems like. We have that market home. We've got a couple of other ranches that are starting with basements. We've got a two-story over in Centennial State. So a lot of good things are definitely still happening in the market. So, you know, if you're in the market and you want to chat a little bit, we'd love to tell you what we're all about.
We haven't been on for a while, but I know last month I was reading that mortgage rates, you know, tumbled in early November. They had like the biggest 1 week drop in a year. Mm-hmm. Did they not stay down for a little while, or did they go back up?
I think they did. They went back up a little bit. And we just saw some people backing off. I feel like, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, once they do start leveling out and people do start, realizing that they need to start getting comfortable with rates if they want to take that next step into home ownership, or they need to make the move, it's still a really, really good time to do it. Home values are still holding very strong. What's going to happen is we're going to see those interest rates start to level, and the buyer pool is just going to, the floodgate is going to open again, and that dream home that you were waiting on until rates came isn't going to be available anymore. So just don't be afraid of the rates. You can always refinance down the road with your favorite lender. And it's just need to kind of come to terms with it, I guess.
Well, doesn't seem like the interest rates have slowed the building at all. I mean, I look around town and you still see homes going up everywhere.
We do. And especially with MJ properties, like I said, we've got some great market homes right now. There's plans for other ones. You know, we're talking to people every week, it seems like, that have some interest or they're starting to maybe consider that process. And yeah, there's a lot of still new construction out there, a lot of building going on.
Well, if anybody's interested, you know, in any of those properties that you talked about, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can reach me at 515-669-2037 or at tiffany.rummelhart@cbdsm.com.
Well, Tiffany, thanks a lot for coming in again tonight. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is one of the assistant coaches for the Ankeny boys basketball team, and he is filling in for head coach Brant Carlson, who is a little under the weather tonight. He has helped guide the Hawks to a 2-1 record thus far. Last night, his team posted a 76-59 victory at Southeast Polk. Here's Jamie Montgomery. Jamie, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, appreciate you filling in here at the last minute. It was an impressive win last night. Your team jumped out to a 28 lead in the first quarter and never really looked back. And anytime you can win on the road in this conference, I mean, you got to be happy about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we knew going into the game, Southeast Polk, that's the type of school, type of team. They have kids that are really competitive. They're going to play good, hard basketball. So we had a game plan, and we knew that we needed to go in and treat it like a business trip. And our guys did a good job coming out early with a lot of energy and setting the tone early. And we kind of rode that first quarter all the way through.
Well, your team had four players in double figures, led by this guy sitting right here with us, Carson Johnson, who had 20 points. Rio Aguirre had 18 points, and his brother Leo chipped in 14. And Cade Peterson added 12, including a couple of dunks early on that really kickstarted your team's big first quarter. You know, that was by far the most balanced scoring that you guys have had this year. You know, I'm sure ideally that's what you guys would like to have every game, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yep. And it's something that, you know, we talk about all the time with our guys. And Carson's a guy that's always going to set the tone for us, but we need those other guys to know their roles and contribute in the ways they can, and guys on our bench are always ready as well. So it was nice to see everything come together last night, and you know, it's just three games in, so we're always building for down the line, and we're happy with where we're at right now.
Well, that was a career high for both Rio and Cade, and I talked with Coach Carlson after the game about Rio's performance. You know, for a sophomore, he seems to have really found his role in the team now as he's averaging 13 points. You know, have you been pleased with, you know, how quickly he's developed into a strong second or third scoring option for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Rio's the kind of kid that he's in the gym a lot. He follows the example set by Carson, and he's always working on his game. He's driven to be a great player, and I was fortunate enough to coach him last year on the freshman team, and I know what kind of kid he is and what kind of basketball player he is, so I'm not too surprised, but it's good to see him getting comfortable out there, and we're excited to see what he does the rest of the year.
Well, Cade has also played an important role. He's kind of taken over the spot that was vacated by Devin Akers' season-ending injury. You know, he certainly gives you guys some length at 6'6". Is he maybe a guy that you need to rebound and be a defensive presence in the paint, and then, you know, whatever he gives you on offense is just kind of a bonus?
For sure, yeah. Cade's the kind of guy who plays with a lot of energy. Obviously, his first year being on a varsity team, playing a lot of minutes, so he's learning his role as well. But last night I thought was a great step for him. He brought a lot of energy early with those two early dunks. He's doing a good job battling down low. So, yeah, he's the kind of guy that brings energy, knows his role. He's going to run the rim and try to get some of those easy looks when he can. But when he's not getting those looks, he's getting other guys involved and staying active on the glass.
Yeah, and when he gets up on the break there, he can throw it down.
Yeah, those are exciting times. Everybody loves a good dunk.
Well, Coach, before we look ahead, you know, let's briefly recap your first two games as well. Your team opened the season on November 28th with an 83-73 loss at Waukee, and that was an entertaining game with a lot of offense. You know, what was your takeaways from that contest?
You know, it's, anytime you lose, you have a lot to learn. I thought our guys came out, matched their energy. It was a tough road environment for the first game. Played really well, competed well, and then things kind of just got away in the fourth quarter. But there was a lot of really good things to take away, and our guys knew that. So it's just a good start playing a good team, and something that was an easy look game to look at and build off of.
Well, Carson erupted for 35 points in that game, including 13 in the third quarter when he put your team ahead going into the final period. And I know Carson has hit a lot of big shots in his career, but you know, that was by far his career high. Did you think, you know, he had that in him to put up a number like that against a really good team?
Oh yeah, we're really confident in Carson. He works harder than anybody I've been around, and he deserves everything that comes to him. So we know he's a tough guard for anybody. Like, there's a lot of good guards in the state, but we know he's going to give the other team a lot of problems every night. He can score at all three levels. He's tough, gets the line, so it's bound to happen when he's making shots. It's going to be hard to keep him low.
I remember Coach Carlson telling me after the game that your team, you know, showed that it could score that night, but you needed to find out if you could stop anybody. And then 3 days later, you guys went over to Johnson and you posted a 51-45 victory over the Dragons. You held them to 3 of 20 shooting from 3-point range. You know, that was obviously a much better defensive performance by your squad. Was that a huge focus for you guys in those 2 days of practice before that game?
I mean, certainly, yeah. You never want to give up 32 points in a quarter, which we did against Waukee. So defense is always a focus. You have to be able to play good defense to win in this league. And, you know, our guys, that's something defense takes a little bit of time to get the chemistry and figure out where your guys are going to be and develop that trust. So, yeah, it's something we're always focusing on, but it's nice to see the improvements early in the season.
Well, considering what a difficult conference schedule that you guys have, playing your first 6 games before the Christmas break on the road, you know, how important was it to get that win at Johnston and then, of course, the one last night at Southeast Polk as well?
Yeah, you know, anytime you get your first win of the season, it's always a relieving feeling. So I think it allowed guys to really become a little more comfortable and, you know, believe a little bit more. So it was just a good confidence builder for the team. And, you know, we have a tough schedule early in the season, but going on the road a bunch, but basketball is basketball, so we're going to show up and approach the game like a business and hopefully live with the results.
Did you guys kind of feel like, though, that you had to win at least a few of these first 6 games in order to be a factor in the conference race?
I mean, yeah, you want to win games to be a factor in the conference, but I think we were confident overall in the whole scope of the season that we would get to where we need to this year. So a couple road games early, definitely a challenge, but we were confident that we could go get some wins.
Well, let's talk about your upcoming schedule. You'll go out of conference play now for your next 2 games, beginning with a contest at home on Friday against Ames. The Little Cyclones are off to a 2-1 start, and they have some of their key players back from the team that defeated your squad in last year's sub-state semifinal. So I imagine your guys will be pretty fired up for that game, won't they?
Yeah, Ames is a really good school. Vance Downs has been a great coach there for a long time. He knows how to get the most out of his guys. I'm familiar with a lot of their players, so we're excited to go take on a good basketball team, and it'll be a good game.
Well, after playing another non-conference game at Indianola on Monday, you guys will then travel to Waukee Northwest on Tuesday. You'll go to Dowling Catholic on December 15th and then to Ankeny Centennial on December 19th for your last 3 conference games before the break. You know, that's just a brutal stretch, though, with 7 of your first 8 games on the road. You know, what was your reaction when you saw that schedule? Did you think maybe there were some misprints?
I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a shocker seeing 7 of the 8, you know, and only 1 game before Christmas at home, but at the end of the day, it's basketball. We know we got to go out there and take care of business. So we've been preaching to our guys just being ready and always staying focused for the team. And I think everybody 1 through 15, guys who aren't dressing are showing up every day in practice, and they're ready to, you know, just take on the challenge that's in front of them. So,
well, Valley and Waukee are currently tied for the conference lead at 3-0, and Valley is one of the 2 teams that you won't see until after the Christmas break, which is also kind of bad timing for your squad because one of their best players, Zay Robinson, is expected to be back in the lineup in the new year, as I understand it. Of course, the Tigers are the defending Class 4A state champions, and they do have a big test coming up on Friday when they play at Ankeny Centennial, you know, so we'll see how that one goes. But do you think Valley's probably the favorite to win the conference, you know, at least until somebody knocks them off?
I mean, they're the defending state champs, so they have that right to protect that, and, you know, they're a very talented team, a lot of good athletes, a lot of great basketball players, so we know the challenge that they present. Obviously, Zay Robinson's a tremendous player as well, so we're looking forward to playing them with him, as that'll just make us better and prepare us better for the end of the year. But yeah, they're definitely one of the best teams in the state.
Well, do you feel like your team could not just be a factor in the race, but could also contend for the crown?
I mean, that's always the goal, and we have a good group of guys that we believe in, so we're building every day, and, you know, we just want to make sure that we're in a good position come March or in February to give ourselves that chance. So we absolutely believe in our guys.
Well, Jamie, before I go, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your coaching career. Of course, you played at both Ankeny, and then you played at Centennial for Coach Fontana. I went on to play at Simpson, right?
Yep.
And, of course, your dad was a legendary coach, Johnny Orr, at Iowa State.
Yeah, my grandfather.
In Michigan.
Yep.
Your grandfather, yeah. So has he inspired you to get into coaching?
It's kind of funny. Obviously, there's always that kind of pressure growing up with that someone like that in your family. I probably didn't ever really think about coaching too much until I was at Simpson College, and actually I was kind of a role player on that team, so late in the game, and then my coach from Ankeny, John Peterson, he was watching our game because Connor Reardon was also playing with me at Simpson. And I met with him after the game, and he kind of just mentioned, hey, you sounded like a coach out there on the bench. So that was probably the first time I ever thought about it. I got done with school and kind of pursued some other things. And then a good buddy of mine who was also a teammate, Byron Harp, kind of convinced me to get into coaching a few years ago, and it's been the best decision I ever made. So I don't do it because of my grandpa. Obviously, there's, you know, it's pretty cool that that's someone that was in my family, but it's really something I've always been passionate about, the game of basketball. Obviously, that probably stems from growing up in a basketball family, but yeah.
Sure. Well, can you describe what your role is here with this program, do you guys have certain responsibilities as far, I mean, do you coach offense or defense, or do you schedule or scout certain opponents?
Yeah, I mean, all the coaches, we all work together pretty well. Brant's a tremendous leader. He gives everybody the ability to contribute, and he's open to listening to everyone's ideas. So whether it's me or Lincoln Connery or Luke Parkinson or Brandon Johnson or Mark Roush or whoever it may be that has ideas, Brant's always open to listening to our ideas. And, you know, obviously we're all involved in preparing our team with scouts and watching film and getting them ready for each game. So it's a complete team effort, just like it is with all our guys. We are always preaching, you know, it takes every one of us. So my role is just a small part, but I'm really thankful and fortunate to be a part of this program.
Well, you guys, we'll have that big game coming up in a couple of weeks over there at Centennial, where, of course, you played for Coach Fontana back in the day. Is that a little weird for you, having played for both schools, and now you'll be going against Coach Fontana?
Yeah, I've had a pretty unique experience, you know, going through the split of the Ankeny District when I was in school, so playing for both teams. Obviously, playing for Bob, I had a great experience with that. But yeah, it was just something that kind of door opened at Ankeny. I wasn't really seeking out anything. Somebody, Connor actually, Reardon had mentioned, given my information to Nate Toby, and that kind of just sprung a relationship there. So it's definitely a little weird, but you know, it's basketball, and I'll be looking forward to seeing those guys over there and getting to catch up with a couple of those coaches that I'm familiar with as well.
Well, it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll break that one down a little bit to hear with Carson in a minute. But hey, Jamie, thanks a lot for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior point guard for the Hawks, and he's off to a great start this season, averaging 25.7 points through the first three games. Last night, he scored 20 points in the Hawks' win at Southeast Polk. He is Carson Johnson. Carson, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, what did you think was the key to the victory?
We knew that we could go in there and get a win. We just had to come ready to play and trust everything that we've been working on, and we knew if we executed, we'd come out of there with the win.
Well, we talked with Coach about your team's balanced scoring in the game. You know, you obviously play a pivotal role in getting the ball to your teammates when they're open. You know, do you have confidence in all of your guys that they'll make the shot when you get them the ball?
Yeah, I see my guys working every day. I know that I trust them, and if they get the ball, that I know that they'll make the right decision. I knew that they're all capable of putting up numbers like they did last night, and it was just good to see a rounded effort and a rounded win like that.
Well, we talked earlier about Rio's performance, and he's one of the guys who has stepped into the lineup this year to replace a couple of the key players who graduated from last year's squad. Did you think he'd be able to make the kind of impact that he's had so quickly?
I've known Rio for a long time, and I've seen how hard he works. It's been really good playing with him. I know how good of a player he is, and watching him come into this role, it's been fun, and it's just been a good experience playing with him.
Well, the CIML has so many good guards, and Southeast Polk has a couple as well, and Bodie Goodman and A.J. Schaefer. Goodman was averaging 22.5 points coming into the game last night, and you guys were able to hold him to just 16. Did it help that he missed six of his 15 free throws? But was he the focus for your team defensively to try to stop him?
We knew that he was a really good player going into the game. Our coaches got us a really good game plan, and we had Cash on him. And Cash did a great job just denying him and trying to shut him down every way possible. And Dylan Goloviak, he also stepped up and did a great job with that too.
Well, I'm sure for your teammates who also played on Ankeny's football team, you know, they really enjoyed last night's win, since it was less than 3 weeks ago that the Hawks lost to Southeast Polk in the Class 5A championship game. And the Rams, of course, also had a few players on their basketball squad. You know, do you think the game might have meant a little more for some of your teammates like Leo?
Yeah, I think Leo and Luke, they were both pretty passionate about football, and it was a tough loss in the championship. So I know they were both ready to go for that game. But at the end of the day, it's just another game, and they both just came ready to play.
Well, Carson, before we talk some more about this season, I want to go back to last year and get a couple of quick thoughts from you. As a junior, you averaged 15 points per game, and you shot 42% from three-point range, and you were named to the Class 4A All-State second team. But I know you had undergone a knee surgery in the offseason before your junior year, and I'm sure it took you a while to recover from that. You know, how would you assess your junior season? Did you feel like you played pretty well, you know, or do you feel like you had another level that you could take your game to this year?
I've always felt like I could get to another level. I work really hard, and it's just been good to like come into this role and try to do as much as I can for our team to get the win.
well, even though you played really well at times last year, your team did have to deal with a lot of adversity, and they struggled to a 9-15 record. I know Coach Carlson told me that he felt like the guys handled the adversity well, but you know, I'm sure that wasn't the kind of record that you guys were looking to have. Did that serve as a pretty motivating factor for you guys coming into the season?
Yeah, a lot of our guys were there last year, and they were coming back, and they experienced all those losses last year, and we didn't want to go through that again. Everyone's been working really hard, and we just wanted to just have a better season all around, and it's been that way so far, and we can tell that everyone just wants to win a lot more this year.
Well, it didn't take you long to make a statement as you scored a career-high 35 points in that opener at Waukee. And I know the Warriors used a few different guys to try to defend you in that game, and none of them really had any success. But when you get on a roll like that, like you did in that game, do you feel like you can score against anybody?
Yeah, I know I can score against anyone. I'm always working and just letting the game come to me that time. And when it feels good, it feels good. And I don't know. There's not much.
We kind of had that look on your face a few times after you scored, like, you know, hey, man, you can't guard me. I know Jamie had that look back in the day. Well, there's certainly no shame in losing to Waukee, you know, because that's a really good team. But then your team bounced back 3 days later with the win at Johnston, where you scored 22 points. You know, and that's a team that Coach Carlson believes is going to be really good by the end of the season. You know, so it had to feel good to get your first win over there, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt really good getting a win in that gym against a really good team. We wanted to get the first win at Waukee. We know they're a good team too, but it just felt good getting that first one at Johnston.
Well, we talked to the coach about your difficult early season schedule with the first six conference games on the road. What was your reaction when you saw that schedule?
I was a little bit surprised. I knew our guys we'd handle it all right. At the end of the day, it is just another game, and we know that we have to come ready anywhere we play.
Well, I guess the benefit, though, is later in the season, you guys are going to have a lot of home games, right?
Yeah, that'll be pretty nice.
Well, before you guys get back into conference play, you will host Ames in a non-conference game on Friday. But like I mentioned earlier, the Little Cyclones were the team that knocked you out of sub-state play a year ago. They trailed at halftime 39-26 before rallying for a 72-51 victory. You know, I'm sure you guys will be looking for a little revenge, won't you?
Yeah, we know that they're a good team and that they got a lot of good players and they're coached well. Last year, it hurt a lot losing that game in sub-state. We were right there, but I know our guys are all going to come ready for this one on Friday.
What do you see to the keys to this game?
They got a few key players that we need to shut down, but if we just go in there and execute like we know we can, we know that we can get the win.
Well, looking ahead to your next few games, I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to that Jag-Hawk matchup on December 19th at Centennial. The Jaguars are also off to a 2-1 start, and we'll probably find out a lot more about them on Friday when they host Valley. But last year, Centennial did win both of the matchups against Ankeny, including the second one when they rallied from a 25-point deficit to win 51-49. So I imagine you're pretty pumped up to play them as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I know all of our guys are pumped up. We know they're a really good team, and they have a lot of good players. We know that we need to keep working and be ready to play them pretty soon.
Well, I know I've enjoyed watching you battle Centennial guard Luke Winkle the last couple of years, and that's going to be another key matchup in this one. I think there's a lot of similarities between your game and Luke's because both of you guys, you know, can hit the three, but you're also able to, you know, take the ball to the rack. Do you enjoy playing against Luke, and what makes him so tough to guard?
I do like playing against Luke. We both push each other and push each other to get better. We both love competing, and we just know that each night that we go at it, it's going to be a tough night. He's got a great shot, and he's pretty shifty. So he's just an all-around great player and tough to guard.
Well, both of you guys recently made your college choices. He committed last month to St. Cloud State, and you committed back in August to Minnesota State Moorhead. I didn't get a chance to talk to you back when you committed. Did you look at a lot of schools, and what did you like about Moorhead?
Yeah, I did look at a lot of schools, but Moorhead, it just felt right. It checked all the boxes, and I knew that if there was a school like that and a great opportunity, I couldn't wait on it, and I just had to go with it. It was a great fit, and I just loved like the feeling there and the how the coaches wanted me. That was a big part. They made it feel like home, and so I just pulled the trigger because it felt like home.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what their roster looks like, but do you see the potential to maybe step in and contribute right away?
Yeah, first couple years, I know I'll be able to get in there. They have a really good team. They just ranked like fifth nationally mm-hmm. for Division II. I know it's a good program with really good coaches, but whatever plan they have for me, I will try and make it work.
Sure. Well, Carson, thanks a lot for coming in tonight again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Tiffany Rummelhart. We had Ankeny assistant coach Jamie Montgomery, who filled in for head coach Brant Carlson. I appreciate Jamie doing that at the last minute. And we finished off with senior point guard Carson Johnson. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.